Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Whitehall Works. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Zach. And as you can tell, something's a little different today with our podcast.
Because today we're going live.
Live.
With the OEDA Annual Summit. So for listeners in the future, the Ohio Economic Development Association, like many other organizations at this time, is holding their annual summit virtually. And so we are recording our audio, but we're also doing it live on Zoom.
So we're going to allow for some Q&A here at the end, so you can submit your questions on the Whova app, as well as on the on your computer. Send questions to our community affairs manager, Megan, wow, easy for me to say, who will relay those to us for today's session.
Yes, so a big welcome to the OEDA attendees. This is very exciting for us since we don't usually have this many people in the studio with us.
Usually it's two.
Yes, so... But yeah, and for those of you are that are just listening later in the future, the Ohio Economic Development Association is more about that is in our show notes. So let's go ahead and get started.
So the theme for the 2020 annual summit was moving the needle. And I know that we were very excited when we saw that theme because we thought that Whitehall has a great story about doing just that. So if you're already a listener of our podcast, or if you haven't, you can check out other episodes by visiting WhitehallMeansBusiness.com or wherever you check out podcasts. Each episode of our podcast features a different aspect of economic development.
And to that point, whether you are an economic development professional or you're the general public, there's most likely an aspect of economic development that you can have an interest in or become passionate about, whether it's employment opportunities, housing options, transportation, community safety, parks and recreation. But City of Whitehall is moving the needle in all of those areas.
That's correct. And so to illustrate, you know, how Whitehall has come to the point of developing a key intersection that we'll talk about today. It's the northeast corner of Broad and Hamilton. It's really one of Central Ohio's key intersections. You know, we talk about that you really have to get a lot of pieces put into place. That true community development isn't really, it isn't checkers. It's more of a Rubik's Cube. You have to make sure that everything fits into the right place and make sure that, you know, it's going in the right direction in all aspects. So if let's run through a couple key areas where the city really has been working over the last decade to move that needle.
Yeah, so we'll start with housing. So at the beginning of September, the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission released their results of their regional housing study, which clearly defines the core housing issues of Central Ohio. Or that the Central Ohio region is facing. And as we expect over 700,000 new residents between now and 2050, the study calculates that about 11,000 new residential units will be needed to be developed annually to meet this demand.
Well, and we met with at one of the MODE events. We had the president of the Central Ohio BIA, and they talked about that, you know, we certainly are not keeping up building enough units. And so we really have to look for ways to eliminate barriers to folks. One of the ways that Whitehall has worked really hard over the past number of years in eliminating barriers was the owners in reinvesting in their homes. And so, you know, since 2015, we've worked and distributed about $300,000 in grants for homeowners to make additional investments in their properties. And you can see that that having a ripple effect in our neighborhoods. For every dollar the city invested, the city realized an additional $3 of investment in those neighborhoods. And so it has really been a project, whether it's our sidewalk replacement program or our home rehab program this year with allowing folks to apply for backwater devices to prevent flooding in their basements. The city really has invested significantly improving our neighborhoods.
Yeah, another program that we started in 2013 was the city partnered with Huntington Bank on a down payment and closing assistance program to kind of regenerate the housing market in our community. And in 2018, Whitehall saw a 15% of housing price appreciation.
And so to your point, I mean, it's, you know, in response to what we were seeing in the housing market in 2010, 2011 and 12, our partnership with Huntington, you know, Huntington has told us that this was the most successful down payment assistance program that they've ever helped partner with. And so we are really excited about that project and about that program. We were able to help over 100 families move into Whitehall. And those folks that moved into Whitehall generally had a median income 20% higher than our 2010 census median income.
Yep. And as Zach kind of touched on a second ago, in 2020, the city unfortunately experienced two floods, one in March, one again in May. And in response, the city has invested about $200,000 to assist residents and experience flood damage. And that project we call Project Prevent Backflow.
The other barrier that obviously is kind of top of mind throughout the region is the idea of building additional and a wider range of homes. And so in the past several years, over 200 units and homes of affordable housing have been developed in the city, whether it was at Eastway Village, Hamilton Crossing, or the Ashford on Broad. In fact, we just had a virtual groundbreaking with our friends at Homeport on a 32-unit senior affordable housing project known as the Hamilton Annex that we're really excited about bringing additional low-income housing seniors, those units, to our market. And then, Jenna, do you want to talk about Norton Crossing?
Sure, yeah. So in August, we opened up the lofts at Norton Crossing, which was a project with Continental in partnership with the city. And that is the first market rate development that we've had since the 70s of 360 units there in our community. And then just down the street from there, we just recently broke ground for the Broadwood apartment complex, which is 96 more market rate.
And that's a Robert Weiler project, where Norton Crossing is Frank Cass and Continental. And yeah. So those are just a couple examples of the way that, you know, we're addressing core housing issues outlined in that regional housing study. With business, obviously, you know, business retention, expansion, and attraction is a key platform for the city. And so just for reference, you know, the city of Whitehall is about 19,000 residents. We have 650 businesses. And in 2018, rather, we had about 33,000 people work inside the city. Since 2011, the city's income has grown by 6.5 million annually.
Yep, and we have had more than 114 million economic investments per square mile invested since 2010.
And those were projects
completed. Go ahead, Zach.
Completed, committed, or underway in Whitehall. And again, we're about 5.2 square miles, so a significant amount of public-private investment inside of Whitehall. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned earlier, the $6.5 million annually, there's more than $228 million of taxable income, payroll, and business profit that we have added since 2012 because of 2,300 net new jobs since 2012.
Yep. So from a business retention and attraction standpoint, you know, bringing in new business has given us more leverage as a community for this new development that we are going to talk about to occur.
Absolutely. One of the negative myths and perceptions about Whitehall in the past has been that it's somehow this unsafe community. And so we've spent a lot of time, our leadership, in addressing that perception. And so in 2017, the Division of Police implemented a new three-year Safer Whitehall strategic plan. And that strategic plan has had a fundamental impact in improving safety in our community.
Mm-hmm. So since that plan was implemented in 2017, when compared to the previous 3 years, violent crime has dropped 27%. There's also been a 38% drop in robberies and a 46% drop in burglaries.
And while those stats are shocking and should be applauded, what is really unique about our plan is that it really was this collaborative approach that our Division of Police took in community building. Mm-hmm. And working with residents and businesses throughout the plan, having periodic and quarterly Safer Whitehall town halls. But we really made it this community collaborative approach to really address that safety issue.
Yep, absolutely. So the next little piece of the pie is our Parks and Recreation Department. So 2017 was a big year for us to implement new strategies. So since 2017, we have seen a 230% spike in program participants for our parks.
That's amazing.
Yep.
In fact, our Parks Department has won seven OPRA awards, the Ohio Park. I want to make sure I get this right because our Parks Director will kill me. Parks and Recreation Association Awards. We were building on a lot of momentum and success. Obviously, with COVID 2020, we had to cancel a lot of events like our Food Truck and Fun Fest, which is averaging about 25,000 attendees a year. So a really impactful event.
Yeah. Then the city has invested $9.3 million in our five parks and park facilities since 2017, which includes our $6.5 million investment in the new Whitehall YMCA branch, which opened this past November, a splash pad at John Bishop Park, and our newest park, which is located at the new Norton Crossing development that opened in spring.
So, I mean, these four components have put us in a position, really, to be able to move the needle in our community for the next decade. And work at this intersection at Broad and Hamilton began years ago with the attraction of Priority Designs and Heartland Bank and Wasserstrom and other businesses. And so it really is bringing all that together. It leveraged, then we talk about, Norton Crossing, at the southeast corner that we referenced earlier. And that was a public-private partnership with Continental and Frank Cass, who got in and understood what our vision was for this gateway. Again, as you mentioned earlier, it's the first market rate multifamily product built in Whitehall in a half century, really paved the way for other folks in Central Ohio to really understand what Whitehall and what this intersection could be about. You then look, to the other corner, the northeast corner, with the what was there previously, and the city and Frank County Board of Health moving forward with a 12-year public nuisance case against the former owners, 317 units of just blighted structures where, people were not being afforded that opportunity for safe, secure housing. Mm-hmm. And so, as we moved forward with that case, ultimately the city settled and acquired that site. And that site backs up to the city's 80-acre nature park. And Whitehall Community Park is really a gem of the east side. It's an 80-acre nature park with access to Big Walnut Creek. I know we're just working on kayak and canoe water launches and docks there that will go out into Big Walnut Creek. There's acres of remeadowed wildflowers and recreational trails. And it's all anchored by that YMCA that you mentioned, which really becomes, this really standout asset in our community.
Yes. So we've been working on this for a long time. So in March, we announced a partnership between the city and NR Investments, which they're an international developer based out of South Florida. And in South Florida, they're really known for their creative and innovative projects that really integrate affordable housing, placemaking, transportation, and the arts. So their vision really closely aligned with that of our leadership team to really create a truly unique development here on this site.
Yeah, it really is unique. One of the other unique things about this public-private partnership was NR Investments sat down with internationally renowned planning firm DPZ, and DPZ is known internationally kind of as the godfathers of the new urbanism, and they've created over 300 plans, infill urban plans that really embrace all three of those factors that you kind of talked about. And so we were very fortunate with them to be able to talk about them and talk with them to create a unique plan. Ultimately, this project is going to create, it's going to induce about a $250 million redevelopment. This project will be the single largest urban redevelopment in an opportunity zone in the country. It's going to feature somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 residential units, of which 20% will be dedicated workforce housing. Again, that's part of our vision that closely aligned with our development partners. It's going to have 250,000 square feet of office space, approximately another 100,000 square feet of retail, restaurant, commercial space, and it is going to allow for diversity in our housing, as well as creating 3,000 construction jobs and 1,000 permanent jobs. This is a mixed-use product that is so badly needed, not only in Whitehall, but in this portion of the region, being in the shadow of the airport and so close to the downtown core of Columbus.
Absolutely. For those of you that are on the Zoom right now, we're going to kind of show you a few designs back in April when we were working with DPZ and kind of sharing our vision and their expertise. They kind of drew up some drawings of what we envision this site to look like. Very pedestrian oriented, more urban, very dense. And we really have like an open air market that we're kind of looking to do that's going to have a lot of our parks programming and farmers markets and stuff like that. But another initiative that Mayor Maggard is very, very passionate about right now is the public art scene and being able to integrate that innovation and creativity and that life into this development.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be able to have a project where your private development folks have the same vision about integrating transit and public art and affordable housing and connectivity to green space and trails. I mean, it really is a very unique partnership.
Yeah. And as we say all the time on this podcast, for those of you just tuning in for the first time, it's all about the partnerships in economic development. And what really has helped us come this far is the partnerships that we have both with NR and DPZ, but also locally and regionally. So other partners that have been involved in this project are M&A Architects, Rusilli Construction, the Central Ohio Community Improvement Corporation, Franklin County, the Ohio Housing Finance Agency, EP Ferris, the Central Ohio Transit Authority, and the Columbus Franklin County Finance Authority and NAI Ohio Equities.
So that's a long list. That's just a few.
Yes.
So, I mean, as you can tell, I mean, this is a project that really will be transformative. Will have a generational impact in Whitehall. And so as we think about it, you know, when we talk about moving the needle, it really has been, you know, setting a path. And our mayor, Mayor Maggard, and city council, you know, enabled us to help set that path, you know, 8 to 10 years ago and really establish this foundation for these different areas to move the needle so that we could be in a position to be able to attract this kind of a development, you know, that really has had, you know, broad support in the region. And we're really excited to move that that needle forward over the next decade as we continue to move this development.
Absolutely. So this time we want to open it up to you here at the annual summit. Please put questions in the Whova chat.
And we actually, there are about 30 in here. So I think if we could go with the format of just unmuting to ask a question, I think
sure.
That's probably fine with this size.
Okay. So go ahead. I don't know if we want to go ahead.
Do you trust me?
Yes.
Mostly. Is Stephanie Bosco near you?
She is not.
Then she's not so much.
So thank you guys for the presentation. I thought it was fantastic.
Could you please state your name, sir, as well?
Sure. My apologies. My name is Nathan Strump, and I serve as the executive director for Grow Licking County Community Improvement Corporation, one of the premier economic development organizations here in Central Ohio. In hearing your topic, it's tremendous to hear all the success you're having in Whitehall, but I actually am inquiring more about the structure of your podcast. I find the format to be really intriguing. Can you talk a little bit about what inspired you to create a podcast as a medium to engage your citizenry and the profession, as well as can you talk about if any of the other departments there within the city use this as a format to communicate their projects or with the citizenry there in the city?
So that actually is a really great question, Nate. Way to start us off. What I would say is, and Megan, our community affairs manager, you know, got together at the very beginning part of this year, end of last year, looking for additional ways to engage our citizens and also stakeholders, both in the community and out of the community, looking for just additional ways that we could engage them. Understanding, you know, from that the world of how you can get your message out has certainly changed over the last number of years. Certainly with the rise of podcasts, we thought it would be something that we could do that'd be a little unique. Candidly, we wanted to stand out a little bit. I think we've talked a lot about, Nate, that, you know, Jen and I can change anyone's perception or anybody's mind about Whitehall if you give us 20, 30 minutes. The problem is there's, you know, 2 million people who live in Central Ohio who haven't heard our message. And so we spent a lot of time working on how can we better engage those folks to understand what exactly is going on in Whitehall. We have hoarded the podcast just for us in 2020 because we wanted to work through kind of the process and the glitches I will tell you that the plan in 2021 is to allow for it to be more than just economic development, but also about what other good things are going on, what other programs we have in
Absolutely.
The city.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say that for us, it was like a business retention expansion outreach. It was also a marketing outreach. And just a little plug. So in December, I actually wrote an article for the IEDC Journal, and it is going to be talking about just this, Mr. Strum, that you asked about how we kind of started it and came up with it and have how we've been doing and our progress and all kinds of stuff about podcasts. So
yeah, it has been a little challenging with COVID as we've worked to try to make sure that we were still having guests be able to talk about relevant topics. And so COVID has presented that challenge. But overall, I mean, it's been a really good experience and we're getting good feedback from our leadership. They seem to enjoy it. So season two, hopefully will come online next year as well. So it has been a successful tool for us.
Well, and as a follow-up, if I may, again, Nate Strum, Grow Licking County Community Improvement Corporation.
Premier economic development organization.
That's why I like you, buddy. What's the startup cost? I mean, microphones, some type of soundproof booth thing. I have a friend who does podcasts for literature, and she's like, I just hang out in my closet and use a microphone tied to my phone. But I don't know if that's how you guys do it on the side.
They don't let me buy anything for the city. What I will tell you is, like you, Nate, we run on a very lean budget. We are fortunate to have partners with Circle 270 Media at the 511 studio in downtown Columbus. So we utilize their studio and their equipment and their expertise. Jenna and I just show up. We talk into microphones. We're silly and ridiculous, and they make us sound good. I'm hoping this is the first one we've recorded video. I'm hoping they also make us look good. That's difficult on this side of the desk here, but we didn't. We understood that that was not a commitment or even an ask that we could make to our leadership to say, "Hey, we want to invest in the hardware." So we found partners again with Circle 27 Media and at the 511 Studio or 511 Studio who had that expertise.
And Nate, we also had about a $5,000 budget, if that tells you anything. That was generally kind of ballpark where we were coming from.
Yeah, that helps. I mean, I think this is a great forum to kind of promote not only your city, but the growth in general and best practices. So I really thank you guys both for sharing your story today and also sharing it through this format. So thank you.
Thanks, you. Nate. Okay, we have a question here from our community affairs manager.
So we had some people writing questions prior to you guys doing this podcast, and one of them really wanted to know, how are you engaging the community in the whole redesign of what we're going to see on the corner of Broad and Hamilton? So what have you done so far, and what do you look forward to doing in the future?
Yeah, so Megan asked us, if you couldn't hear Megan, she was asking about our community engagement process with this whole development, and where are we going from here?
Want me? Okay.
Yes.
So what I would say is that so in 2018, one of our former colleagues, Joe Ryan, put together with some consultants, put together our citywide comprehensive development plan. And about the same time, this site was going through the courts, and the city, as part of the settlement, was required to purchase it. And so part of our comprehensive development plan engaged stakeholders, even at that time, engaged stakeholders on the type of development that they would want to see in the community and what kind of amenities, what kind of buildings, what kind of uses would they want to see. We had a stakeholder group of about 40, 45 mm-hmm. people. And then we had outreach sessions where we did different focus groups. We were at a community events where we engaged people. And so we went through that process. We did a public opinion survey as well in 2018 that, again, talked about these kind of sites and what kind of developments they'd want to see. And so we did both of those things. And then, you know, working with our leadership and stakeholders at the end of last year to, again, fully understand what kind of development they were looking for. And so understanding the kind of big principles, but not necessarily into the weeds of, you know, how tall of a building. But generally speaking, what kind of mixed, you know, are you supportive of mixed use? You know, what kind of amenities, what kind of feel do you want a new development there to have?
Anyone else? Please don't hesitate to ask. You can unmute yourself or you can ask in the Whova app and they can translate for us.
This is Nate again. If no one else is going to ask, I'll keep going.
You go for it.
What does season two look like? What are you guys thinking from a programming standpoint? What do you want to cover? What's the ideal scenario?
So it's funny you talk about that. We were actually talking about that literally before we went on the Zoom today. I think we want to have a session that would cover the Whitehall brewery scene. We have a couple breweries that have recently opened and a couple that are planned. So we want to talk about the different breweries we have in Whitehall. I think we want to do a little bit of a deeper dive into transit and how transportation will be impacted at this new development. We've had really great conversations so far with CODA and with Michael Logis over there. And so those are two of the topics that we talked about. And so you want to talk a little bit about, some of the other topics that we kind of mentioned?
Yeah, we also are talking about that new park that we mentioned at Norton Crossing at the development there. It's going to open up in the spring and different programs that we're going to have out there. It's kind of part of what Zach said. We're kind of trying to outreach into more of our departments at the city of Whitehall as well. Because it all really does involve economic development at the end of the day.
Absolutely. It's the park and quality of life issues or transit and workforce. Mm-hmm. I think, Nate, we're going to focus a lot of our time on kind of to your point about how can we engage some of our other departments, whether it's, community safety or our fire department or certainly in our parks, but really be able to talk about those things.
Thank you.
Yep.
So we're going to share a question that was submitted via the chat. The question is, the East Broad and Hamilton development is situated on the East-West Linkus Mobility Corridor. Could you speak to the regional mobility perspectives that you have maintained while developing the project plan?
Sure. So what I would say is, we've obviously, are working with our partners at MORPSI, at CODA. We certainly have a strong preference, as they've talked about, an express route or a BRT. We think Broad Street really aligns very well with the goals, of a BRT. Personally, I think you could link tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs along Broad Street from downtown all the way out to Nate Strum in Licking County, along that route. I think I remember this right. I think CODA told me that, 70% of their ridership are people going to and from work. And so when you have such significant job hubs along Broad Street, whether it's DSCC and 10,000 employees or Mount Carmel or L Brands, and then again out to the distribution that you see out in Pataskala and Etna, you have the potential to link all of those jobs and allow folks making, anywhere from $17, $18 on up to live anywhere along that corridor. And so as we looked to develop this site plan, we certainly were keeping those things in mind with how, Broad Street and then Hamilton could be this, nexus of this express route.
We really had a good conversation with Michael Logis from CODA about this stuff in a previous podcast. So again, whitehallmeansbusiness.com if you want to check that out.
Good plug. Good plug. I don't know. There aren't any more questions. Tracy, anything from OEDA?
Nope, there's nothing. There are no more in the chat or in Whova. So, Nate.
Nate Strum, do you have any more questions?
Well, first and foremost, I just want to take a moment here and actually thank Zach and Jenna again from Whitehall. I think this has been such an insightful, not only from a content standpoint, with what the city's doing there to better engage their residents, but also how you are impacting lives there in the city. At the end of the day, what economic development is to me, to a lot of other practitioners, it's how we're impacting our communities, how we're impacting our residents, and how we're helping to improve the quality of life. I think your presentation today really touched on a lot of those elements across a broad spectrum. So really want to thank you both for that information. I think you do a tremendous job. And that's not me blowing smoke there in the city of Whitehall. You as a tandem are just fantastic. So that's my two cents.
Thank you, Nate.
That's Nate. I think if there's nothing else, you're welcome to close it out, Jenna. And thank you so much for, I thought it was awesome.
Absolutely.
Again, thank you so much for having us be part of this. And we're really excited to, again, share the great things going on in Whitehall and how we're moving the needle. So thanks again, everyone, for joining us.
Yep. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one. Now back to work.
Thanks for listening to Whitehall Works. This is a show hosted by the Economic Development Team, Zach and Jenna, at the City of Whitehall, a suburb of about 19,000 residents located in the Columbus, Ohio region. Economic development is a phrase you often hear, but the general public may not know what it means in practice. As a profession, economic development focuses on the well-being and quality of life in a local community, region, state, or country. Each episode will have a topic or a breakdown of efforts the City of Whitehall is working on to improve their community. But you are the community experts, and we want to hear from you. If you have any topics or questions for Zach and Jenna to talk about on the show, please email Whitehall Works Podcast in the subject line to economicdevelopment@whitehall-oh.us. Now back to work.